So I'm going to introduce one of the concepts that I believe explains a lot of what Seriously Human is about. And it came from a discussion of a whole bunch of different workplace policies. And then a friend of mine, one of the crowdfunders, was like, "That sounds like you're taking humans seriously." It's like, "Oh, Seriously Human is a great idea." So I want to talk about what is a dollar bill, or a $20 bill, or $100, any dollar bill? What actually is it? And I mean, it's not the fancy ink that it's made with, or the fabric that, you know, won't rip apart if it gets wet. It's the idea that this thing indicates a future value that people will honor. And so if someone gives me, you know, $20 bill, $100 bill, I believe that there are places I can go that will accept it in exchange for value, and then they will in turn deposit it in their bank, and the bank will accept it and deposit it in their bank. And if you travel internationally, this is not always the case, interestingly. There are indications of the Bank of Scotland notes not being accepted at grocery stores in England, and vice versa. And so even though it's all the Great British Pound, you have different banks in the United Kingdom. And so we, you know, in America, we consider the, you know, dollar bills to be so solid and dependable that it's only when, you know, they hold up a $20 bill at the grocery store and like shine light through it, and you're kind of like, well, was it fake? I mean, you start thinking through where you got it from, and like, well, hoping that you're not caught with, like, you know, being the sucker stuck with it, with, you know, with a fake 20. And I'm not going to talk about money, but I'm going to talk about the resume as a very similar concept of implied value. The rules of the resume, which are roughly, don't have gaps, don't job hunt, put a good educational institution at the bottom, you know, that you've gone to, chase titles that matter. In the software world, it's use languages that matter. I had an engineer one time tell me that he was deciding to take a different contract somewhere else. He was a permalancer contractor. And he said, look, I really like the system that you've written, and it's exciting to work on, but nobody understands it because this is the only company that uses it. And I'd like to have some experience under my belt that I can exchange, such as, you know, React and Node, that are common systems, so that I can, you know, have a better resume. And I thought about that, and I realized he's not wrong, because as a contractor, if you say, well, I have a year of experience in this random thing, it doesn't carry the same value. Similar to the value we ascribe to a dollar bill, we've ascribed value to certain resume features, not for what they are, not for the skills you actually learn, not for the capabilities you actually have, but for the promise of an exchangeable value in the future. I have had some jobs that were 2 or 3 months that I learned far more at than some jobs that were 2 years. And they did build me into a better person. And some of them went well. It just, you know, it wasn't a fit for a different reason other than the work I was doing. And the idea that the sort of rules of the resume would interpret that short job as universally bad means that at times I don't put it on my resume. And then I'm like, oh, can I talk about in an interview about that crazy system I built for that thing? Another example of this is personal work can be foundationally educational, or you may even gather personal skills from life challenges you've had to face, a time when you faced a decline in your income and you had to figure out how to manage it could build very important life skills in accounting and financing and personal habits. Raising a family and parenting can be a fantastic training for team management. And that idea of bringing experience outside of professional experience into your credibility is somewhat lost. And so I believe the reason we still have the resume format is not because very many people still think it works, but because people defend it because they're defending their own future value, because they are building their resume as well. And if they begin interviewing outside of that, how do they build their career? You know, if there are no rules for the right thing and the wrong thing to make you look good in the future, what do you do? And I think the fundamental reason hiring managers don't hire people that they believe will do a good job because of their resume has less to do with the candidate and more to do with their buying in of the resume, almost as if it's a currency that must be preserved in its ability to be exchanged elsewhere. And the resume, to me, was basically created at a time when you had a common situation where the CEO or the executives had been at the same company for 15 or 20 years. They started on the shop floor, and they basically know everything that happens between that entry-level shop floor job all the way up to them. And so when it comes down to reading the titles and the experience, they have an idea of actually knowing what's going on. Well, fast forward to the modern workforce, it is very unusual that anyone stays at a company that long. It is also very unusual that CEOs come from the same company. And given the proportion of idea work, sort of like, you know, a law firm has people far below the executives researching court cases at a volume and frequency, that means the executives at the top actually don't know what's going on. It's idea-based research work that they are relying on the people way below them to tell them what's going on. Software is very similar. The people at the top don't really know what the teams below them are building because it's idea-based work. The purpose of it is to figure things out that the company didn't already know. And so the structure of a resume in terms of sort of linear title promotion really doesn't account for the sort of reality of skill valuation in an idea-based economy. Marketing is very similar. And what inevitably happens as well, because it's an idea-based economy, people are switching more often. Companies have almost no loyalty to their employees, so they're laying them off more often. I heard a story one time about a company that had a policy of not hiring anyone who had an entry in the resume of less than a year. And this company proceeded to hire a bunch of people and then do a layoff of 100 people, giving them all a 6-month stint at their company. And so it's like, do you know based on your own rules that you have just made that group of people unhirable to any other company that enforces your rules? And this doesn't make sense, but I think the reason it is upheld is because if they start hiring outside the bounds of the traditional resume, which says don't have gaps, don't job hunt, and don't list things that are non-professional commercial experience, that begins to erode the future that those hiring managers are building for themselves. They want to be able to cash in that resume that they've built as if they were, you know, handing over a $20 bill. And if they start eroding those rules, they're eroding the valuation of that sort of promissory note of a resume. And the other thing that's interesting is that I'm hearing from a lot of places that people who get into their, you know, 40s and 50s and 60s are increasingly becoming contractors, and finding that full-time employment is either hard to find or impractical to keep up with. And also there is a whole lot of gig economy work early in people's careers where they're figuring out what to do. You may be a combination of helping out as a part-time gardener, working, you know, 20 hours in a restaurant, and then as an Uber delivery person for, you know, 10 hours a week. And then, you know, you may know a bit of software or design programs, understand, you know, the sort of basic, you know, Photoshop and some of those design programs. Maybe, you know, your clients can let you use, you know, Canva or whatever. You can sketch something quickly. You may have social media promotion work. And the idea that you can fit all of this in a resume that is designed to have consistent blocks of a year or more, you could have one bullet, just like random freelance, whatever. But how do you summarize all the different things you did within that window of time? It really is an inaccurate format for the modern workplace. And I believe the main reason why is that the resume was designed at a time that you had drastically different spans of time in employment. And you also had a lot more familiarity within the same company about a variety of roles within that company. And so the hiring managers were able to look at what is on your resume and know what that job is like. And these days, with so much idea-based work in the economy, it's just not the case that the people at the top are familiar with what the people at the bottom are doing. And the people at the bottom are going to do something predictable according to what the job description was 10 years ago. And then I also think that the reason why the resume has aged so poorly for the modern workplace is that hiring managers are trying to preserve the future value that they see in their own resume as if it's a promissory note or a dollar bill.